Hey, glad you're here tonight in this family gathering time. While we're not having preaching tonight, I wanted to have a message, and I've asked Dr. Bill Lyle to come, and I asked him to take just a few minutes and talk to us about the miracle of birth, since we're dedicating these children, we're coming against that abortion issue, and it just runs up against us. Doc, we appreciate you. Glad you're a part of our family here at Olive. Thank you for all you do. Speaks and focus on the family and different places and just does an incredible job. And he's going to take a few minutes tonight and challenge your soul from his heart, his mind, and the Word of God. Welcome, my friend. God love you.
Well, congratulations, all you moms and dads and grandparents that are here tonight to see this amazing event. When you look at these children, this is the future of Olive Baptist Church. These are your future Sunday school teachers, your leaders, your deacons, your preachers that you just saw here before you. As good as our healthcare system is here in Pensacola, and I've been here for over 25 years, part of this healthcare system, delivered over 4,000 babies right here. As good as our healthcare system, after 130 years, none of the founding members of Olive Baptist Church are here in our congregation. We have changed, and if we don't bring in new leaders and new members, and people are going to share the gospel, there will not be another Olive Baptist Church. We saw all these images of pictures of these babies. Well, images are important. I mean, there's a big image right behind me. When you look up there, Pastor has spoken on this image of the stained glass up there right in front of us. Images have meaning. Images speak. You can look up at the top and you can see those three crosses. You can see light coming from heaven on two of those crosses, light not coming down to one of those crosses. You can see the angels. You can even see Jesus in the garden over on the far right. You can see a shepherd over on the left. You can see the crowns that are cast there at the bottom. Images are really important to us. Well, what about God? Does God use images? Yeah, God uses images. You know, I'm sure y'all have had a busy week, you know, especially the new parents. I mean, it is busy having children. You know, there are always activities that you have to go to. There's always something else to do. And thank goodness that we can organize and we never miss an event and we get the kids to this and we get the kids to that. But you know what? There was a week that was really busy, and that was the week of creation. That was when God created everything. You know, we read through verse 1 and we say, and God created the heavens and the earth. It's like, oh yeah, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, what does that mean? Just here in our galaxy, there are over 200 billion stars just in our galaxy. I mean, if you took a laser, it would take it 200,000 years just across our galaxy. But are there other galaxies? Yeah, the Hubble telescope tells us there's probably 150 billion other galaxies that are out there. And we read that first verse, and it's like, and God created the heavens and the earth. And we just sort of move on. But then that was just day one. But then God turned his attention towards the earth, and he made the mountains and the rivers and the seas, and then the birds, and then the fish, and then all the mammals. Amazing creation that he did during that first week, but he was not done. On the sixth day, he said, you know what? This is pretty impressive, you might say, but now I'm really going to do something amazing and dazzling. And God says in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image. And male and female, he created he them, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. Of all this amazing creation that God had made, with galaxy after galaxy, none of that was made in the image of God. But then we were made in the image of God. And the question is, well, when are we created in the image of God? We know we are created in the image of God, but when does that happen? I mean, yesterday morning I was with a patient and we delivered her baby. Was that the moment that this baby was created in the image of God? No, it's not like she's pushing and all of a sudden I said, behold, the image of God, you know, like Mufasa holding up, you know, Simba the lion. That's not when we were created in the image of God. How about when we do the anatomy ultrasound? Is that when we are created in the image of God? It's like, well, check out the heart, the lungs, the spine, the brain. No. How about when we do that first ultrasound when we can actually see the heart beating on the inside? Is that when we were created in the image of God? No. Scientifically, embryologically, and biologically, we are created in the image of God at that moment of conception. That is what science shows us. And it's like, what happens at that moment of conception? Well, there's two cells. Now, ladies, you do things a lot differently than we guys do. you know, you are just very nice, you are very polite, you know, and so when the lady is releasing her cell that is going to be ovulating, you know, she has 9 or 10 other helper follicles called graafian follicles, and they help support one more follicle, which becomes the dominant follicle, and they say, oh, it is your turn, and boop, that one egg gets ovulated, and the egg is released, and then the little fimbria grab that egg, and they bring it down into a fallopian tube, and then it starts working its way down toward the womb. It's so nice. It is so polite. It is so ladylike. Guys, everything is a competition with us, you know? How many participants are there in our competition? 10? Now. 300 million are in this competition. Every one of these little swimmers thinks that they are Michael Phelps, and they are going to be the gold medalist on this race. And it's like having the entire population of the United States all lining up, and they're on the starting blocks, and, you know, they're stretching out and getting themselves all ready, and then it's off they go. Well, they take off, and then they get up to the top of the uterus, they swim up to the side, and they have a choice. I can take the left tube, or I can take the right tube. But ladies, what do guys never do? We never ask for directions. So half of them go to the left tube, and they get to the end of the left tube, and guess what? They go, there's no egg, everybody back, 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 back. Well, now the ones that took the right turn they see the egg. But that's not it. It's not just the first one that hits the end of the wall is the winner. No, it's just kind of like Ninja Warrior stuff. Now that you get to the egg, you've got to get inside of the egg. And they have to start working. They're using enzymes. They're burying themselves into the outside of that egg, and they want to get inside. Finally, Michael Phelps makes it. But guess what? Only Michael Phelps is going to win, because there's only a gold medalist in this. There is no silver. There is no bronze in this race. So how did God design things so that we don't have a silver medalist? I mean, he came really close, but he was still not the silver medalist. God designed our bodies so that a shield actually goes up, and that shield is called the zona pellucida. It's like, all right, everybody else, you other 299,999,000, I'm sorry, but there is nobody else that is going to get inside here. We just have the gold medalist, and all the others are, it's like, bye, Felicia, you just are not going to come on in here. So that is what happens when that one cell gets there on the inside. But now what happens? Well, we have all the DNA from dad and all the DNA from mom, and that DNA is going to come together. And that is the moment of conception. When you have that zona pellucida, that shield goes up, you can actually see a flash of light. If you look with the right frequency, you can see that flash of light. So when people say, well, we really don't know when life begins, my goodness, there's a flash of light. What more do you need? There is a flash. Well, now what happens when the genetic material from the mom and the genetic material from the dad get together? Well, we don't just want to have one big cell. We'd be a bunch of amoeba, you know, that are walking around. So what do? We bring that material together, and then we have to make more cells. A baby's about 35 billion cells. You adults are about 60 trillion cells. Some are a little bit more, you know, than 60 trillion. Some are a little bit less, you know? But so now we have one cell, but now we've got to become two cells. So one, two, two become four, 18, 16, 32, whatever. It works its way up. But then all of a sudden, they're all just exact copies. They have the same genetic material, but then one says, you know what? I don't want to be just like you. I want to do my own thing. I've got all these blueprints, but I only want to read part of them. And it says, you know what? From here on, I'm going to start the entire neurologic system. I'm going to start the brain and all the nerves. And another one goes, oh, so you're going to do your own thing. Well, I can do that too. From here on, I'm only going to read the blueprints, and I'm going to start the entire circulatory system. And the other one says, well, I always wanted to be a structural engineer. I'm going to lay down the blueprints for all of the bones. It's like, how do they know? They are individual cells. They have all the information from 23 pairs of chromosomes, but then they make this decision. Well, this is what, I was like, you have all the blueprints for a big building. It's like, well, I'm going to do the wiring. I'm going to do the plumbing. I'm going to do the roofing. I'm going to do the windows. How do they know? You know, when you ask scientists this, scientists will say, well, you know what? We know that this happens, and I can tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. Okay. Just because you know it, but I want you to explain to me how it knows to do that. When you had that kind of design, there was a designer. When you had that kind of creation happening, there was a creator. We can see it, but we do not understand how it happens. So then, as the cells divide and the cells grow and they form different structures, it makes us think of Psalm 139, where we were knit together in our mother's womb. That's knitting, when you can form. You know, the psalmist says, you know what? All I know is that I don't understand biology, but there was a night of romance, and then all of a sudden, 9 months later, there's an amazing baby like y'all just saw. You know, that has to be God. God that knit us together in our mother's womb. And the babies grow, and the babies come forth, and it's an absolute miracle when we are developed and we are growing and we are born, and it can only be an act of God. And when that baby delivers, you just have to celebrate. You know, God said in Jeremiah 1:5, he goes, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I set you apart and I sanctified you and I set you apart to be a prophet unto the nations. When you look at your new baby and you're looking at its eyes tonight, there were 300 million cells from the dad. Do you think that God's sitting up there with Gabriel and kind of going, so what do you think? Which one's going to win? I guarantee you, God already knew. God knew who Jeremiah was going to be before that moment of conception. God knew which cell was going to get there on the inside. An absolute miracle of God. So now that we have these babies that have been brought into this world, you know, you have made a commitment by bringing your children forward. You've made a commitment and said, you know what? I want to join this church. You've made a commitment to this church. Well, this church is going to reciprocate. This church is going to reciprocate and continue with a commitment to you. There is no better place that I know of in this entire region to raise a family and to raise a child, to learn scripture, because if you're not going to understand the scripture and all the problems of life, whether it's raising children or relationships or finances, they're right here. Sometimes we just don't look in here enough to find those answers, but they are right here. Learning scripture in context is so important. How to live our lives. Teaching your child that they do have a reason to be here. They do have a purpose. And what is that purpose? To glorify God. And it is this church and this congregation who are going to take on that responsibility with you so that the children will realize they were created in the image of God, and that they're created in the image of God and God loves them, they're important. When you look at Romans 5:8, who did Jesus come for? Who did Jesus die for? Sinners. Okay, take a poll. I'm a sinner. But then when you look at Psalm 51:5, when were we sinners? The psalmist says, I was born a sinner. Yea, I was a sinner from the moment my mother conceived me. So if God would love all of us enough, including the preborn at that moment of conception, that he sent his only son, he lived a perfect life, he gave his life for us on the cross, and then he was buried. Not just merely dead, really most sincerely dead. He was dead for 3 days, then he conquered death and he rose from the grave. And that is that gift of salvation that is offered to all of us. We were talking with some of our staff earlier about how we are sending out others to replicate what is being done at Olive, how we are sending out missionaries and how we are growing and raising preachers. Because the babies that you just saw in front of you will be the next leaders. They will be the next preachers. They will be the next deacons. So join with me as we help grow them, to let them know about what the gift of salvation is, how they are important. Too many of our kids in our society now are taking their own lives because they don't feel that they have any meaning. They don't realize why, because they've been taught, well, you just evolved. It was just a cosmic event that got you here. From the very moment of conception, God knew exactly who you were and how you could serve his kingdom. And that's what we are here to do, because here's another medical free help for you. Y'all are going to die. Unless Jesus comes, you are all going to die. And what do we want to look back at? We maybe get 70, 80 years here on this planet to serve Jesus, and in return, we get to spend eternity in the presence of God. We're going to look back and we're going to think, what did I do for kingdom service while I was here? What did I do to train the youth? What did I do to help bring up the young adults? And we're going to think, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. But then what we really want to hear from our Lord and Savior is Him look us in the eye and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So join with me as we help these families raise them together at a place called Olive. God bless y'all, and thank you very much, Pastor.